At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline, and today we are recapping Season 7, Episode 14 of Pretty Little Liars called...
Power Play.
You know what I realized as I was creating the graphic for last week's episode?
What?
Completely missed opportunity. I can't believe they didn't name the episode Namaste, Bitch.
Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah, I noticed that in the that was a good point in the graphic.
And they love using bitch in titles, like famously.
They do. I wonder if they have a quota that they can't exceed.
And I'm like, I just think it was, I know Sydney wasn't like a huge character, but just such a good line. Such a missed opportunity.
And it kind of, it's thematically related to everything that happened.
Exactly. The word bitch is just tied in and related to everything that happens in the show. And that's for dang sure. Guys, before we get into this episode, I do want to let you all know that we are rapidly approaching our final Pretty Little Liars fall, if you can freaking believe it. And it's a glorious time for Pretty Little Liars lovers all around the world. I want to know when you guys are starting your rewatches. I see a lot of people are starting them now. Is it a Labor Day thing?
I think it's a Labor Day thing. Even though I'm rewatching it right now, it wasn't because it was time for my rewatch.
There's no calendar, you know? Yeah. For you, it's just like...
But I do feel like Labor Day feels like the right... That pilot feels like the weekend before. And I know it's because obviously that's when it's happening for them, but like... I guess maybe that's what it is.
Back.
Maybe even though it's adults that are rewatching it, depending on when you are, like, when you went back to school, because we weren't a school district that went back to school after Labor Day.
No.
We went to school before that.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of people, like, traditionally, that's the last weekend of the summer.
Yeah. But I do see a lot of people are starting their rewatches now, and I think, to me, I'm on board because I have such a hankering for fall. Like, I'm over summer. It's been too hot. Dude. And I think we're all just ready to, like, nestle into our cozy blankets with our fall scented candles and, like, our pumpkin things and just sit and watch a little bit of a spooky fall nostalgic show. Like, I think that would be the comfort that we as a people are desperately searching for right now. So it makes sense to me that people are starting their rewatches now. But we are going to be doing some fun stuff because it is our final Pretty Little Liars fall. It is the 15th. Pretty Little Liars fall, right?
Wow.
15th anniversary. So we're going to be pulling out some exciting things. So even though you guys might feel like we're winding down from Pretty Little Liars, we're moving on to Gossip Girl, which, by the way, Gossip Girl is the perfect Thanksgiving show. And that's about the time we'll be starting it. So it'll still feel, the festive vibes will be strong. I think any episode in Gossip Girl, for me, like, it just feels like Pretty Little Liars season feels like September, October. Gossip Girl season feels like it really begins in November. So it's going to be a seamless transition. You guys are going to love it. But don't be thinking that we're, like, checked out for our final Pretty Little Liars fall. You know we come alive during this time, so we want you all to go along for the ride with us. So anywho, that's just what I wanted to say about that. And Phoebe is on the recap.
This was a crazy episode.
This episode had me gagged and gooped. Gooped and gagged.
I can't wait to get there.
Oh, my God.
I know that people, like, and guys, this is a little peek behind the curtain. If I see a comment come across my screen that has imminent spoilers, I delete them. Sorry. Because I don't want I'm like, oh, my God.
Phoebe made that engagement.
I can't even risk Caroline getting this sent to her phone.
Yeah.
And we just recently got one that, spoiled an aspect of the storyline that we get today, and I just want to know, were you surprised or did you know?
I had heard through the grapevine that there was something with, like, Allie and Emily would have a kid together, and I thought it was like
like how you might expect them to
yeah I guess just like that. Like I was thinking it would be like last episode we'd get a little time jump, we'd see where everyone ended up, and we'd see that they ended up like using Emily's eggs to have a baby or so. I don't know. I mean, they could use Allie's eggs, so I don't really know. But I did know that Allie got pregnant. But up until this point, I was really like, yeah, okay, this is Archer's baby. I just didn't see it happening now. I didn't see it happening like this. it got me. I'll tell you, it got me.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so the recap, if you'll remember, Mary Drake is Spencer's mom, and she will not let you forget it. And Mary Drake pretended to be Jessica one night, and Peter and her had a little tryst. And Spencer hasn't seen Peter since she found out about Mary. He's allegedly been in London and had trouble with his passport. We're going to learn that that's not true. Then we also get a reminder of who Ted is. Do you guys remember Ted? He proposed to Ashley and she said...
Remember P.T. Cruiser?
Yes. Ashley goes, I need a minute. And then she gets up and then we don't really ever revisit that storyline.
Oh, Sarah Shepard repost. Just saying. Thank you. Sarah just Shepard saying. Reposted. This is my Mount Rushmore. Just interrupting Phoebe's recap to let you all know.
And then we are also reminded that Jess D had files on everyone. And that when the girls find them, they're like, oh my gosh, files on everyone except Aria. Of course. It's because we know she's the weakest link. I think Aria has cracked it.
The Aria as A theories are making so much more sense. I mean, people had to be just thinking that she was...
Well, just you wait, Caroline. Oh! Just you wait.
Okay.
So then last week, Hannah technically skipped her turn because Caleb was sent to the hospital, so she didn't get to wear her kimono to her investor meeting.
Yeah, she didn't have the privilege.
Aria and Emily are following Sydney all through town, and they accost her and they put a tracker on her because they think that she's more involved than she's letting on. Detective Floozy is sent a finger, a dead finger, and we don't know who sent it, but he opened it and he found it. And then Nicole is just in Ezra's apartment. Aria comes in and Nicole is just also in there.
Nicole looks like a corpse in that moment.
Dude, she looks like the corpse bride.
Yeah, I'm like, why? Oh my God, there's a dead body in here. Oh my God, there's a dead body and it just sat up. Is this like called aftershocks?
Sorry, it shrieks and it's not because it's Nicole. She's like, oh, sorry. I thought you were, are you dead?
Oh my God, I can see dead people. Yes! She's like, this is, okay. This was kind of like the thing that was missing from my whole vibe. My whole witchy vibe. So we pick up basically a few hours after that moment where Nicole is in Ezra's loft.
And hey, I just want to say, writers, I wanted those few hours.
Oh, hey, writers, fuck you. We deserved those hours.
That's like peak Aria. Like that would have been,
you know,
Aria
was so nasty. The way that Aria is like talking about it now is like, I mean, you know, here's what I'll say. She was as nice as she could possibly be. And that's what I know. And we also know that to be not that nice. Not very nice. So I can imagine she made Nicole feel, I don't know, worse than when she was held in captivity. Probably. Don't you think?
Worse than when her bones were broken and they had to re-break them.
Literally. She's like, can I go back? She's like, anything to get out of this bitch's presence. So Aria is just like sitting alone in the loft. And Ezra walks in. And I have to say, Aria still... in this moment, better woman than me. She doesn't even look at him. She's like, hey. And Nicole is upstairs sleeping. And Ezra's like, oh, sorry. Yeah, she took off, got in a cab. Everyone's been looking for her. But good to know she's here. Great. Like, I mean, he's
thanks
acting like they've been in contact.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, so you are getting my calls. Okay, great. Just
perfect.
Glad you got this
and
one.
And he's like, okay, like, I'll take her back in the morning or whatever. And Aria says, okay, I'm going to go. And he's like,
Aria,
what?
Like, gets her bag.
And she
he's
goes,
like, no.
I thought she ate with this line. She goes, ate. I'm not taking the couch.
Ooh. And he doesn't even say anything, like, that she wouldn't. You know, which I thought was, like, I know there's only he's one like, bed, but it's like.
And also, hey, Ezra, I want you to then confirm that you're taking the couch and not getting up into that bed with Nicole.
With Nicole. I know. No, it's insane. And so he's like apologizing and she says, she's like, I'm fine. Just tired. Like she keeps it together. And she basically ends it with another line that eats. It's giving the Ginny and Georgia salute. She says, I don't know what you've told her about us or what you haven't told her, but there are pictures of me all over this place. My clothes are in the bedroom. So she's going to have questions. And she leaves. And it is like, yeah.
Yeah, Ezra, yeah. You botched this one.
Ezra, you dog. Ezra, you absolute dog.
We go to the De Laurentiis dungeon and Arya has no problem putting her friends out.
Let me tell you, this is the last place I would have showed up.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, I know they're already having a sleepover at Lucas's loft. I'll just go there. Or better yet, I'll go to my parents' house.
And I'll just deal with it. I'll just
they're
deal
aware of the Nicole situation. So I'll just be like.
But they don't understand is what Arya says.
Right. Well, it's like, well neither do I.
Who fucking cares?
Yeah, just be like, I just wanted to sleep in my own bed.
Well, it was, I love that line. Arya was like, I just can't deal with seeing my parents in the morning. They don't really understand this whole Nicole situation. And Allie says, do you?
Allie had
and Arya goes, yes. Yes. I've never misunderstood anything in my life.
How I was an English major. She's like, how dare you? So they walk into the dining room. They're going to get some food and there's a box and the game has been moved into Allie's house and it's like whirring and the phone is doing crazy stuff.
Allie's being so kind in this scene. After that conversation, she goes, have you eaten? And Arya says, I'm not hungry. Classic. She's so peckish. That's not what I asked.
Ooh.
And then did you catch what Allie's t-shirt says?
No.
You're the avocado to my toast.
Oh my God, who is doing this to her?
It's giving like the graphic tees at Old Navy. Which
yeah,
for
from
some 2012. Reason just
like,
no, but they just, you know, for sure. Like that circa that, but it's also designed in that way. It's like for some reason it's taken Old Navy a really long time to perfect the graphic tee.
Yeah.
In a way that doesn't feel corny or cheesy.
Yeah. And sometimes they still miss the mark, I'll say it.
Maybe well, certainly.
I mean, they all do, but it's like, I just don't, this, the like cat eye sweatshirt, like who's doing this to her? With that pug one? The pug one? Oh, dude. I can't. It's dark. Okay. So anyway, they walk in, the game is there and like Arya and Allison's pawns on the game are like spinning around like crazy. And Allie says, it's not broken. It's deciding. Wait, I did love this from Allie though. Cause Spencer wakes up. In bed. Sorry, I'm just like going into this, but Spencer
wakes
up.
I love this line too.
And she like knocks a men's watch off the nightside table and answers her phone. And Allie goes, "I called you last night."
Wait, I think I wrote, "I see you" next to that.
I see you. She said it the same way. I called you last night.
That's not where I wrote it. So that means that there's another line later also read like "I see you."
You guys are getting multiple "I see you."
It's when she's talking to Paige later.
Oh, yes. I see you looking at my abortion slip. Yeah, absolutely. Someone commented like, I see you in this episode. Like letting everybody know. Thank you, Paul Revere. Letting everybody know there is an I see you drop in last week's episode.
So long.
I just don't like to perform it, you know, but sometimes it feels natural. And you know what it is? It's Allie's back to Big Al vibes. And so she's back to I see you vibes. And so it's back in the spirit of the
show. It's because Paige is back in town. When Paige wasn't in Rosewood, Big Al was dormant.
What's the point in saying it? Yeah, Big Al was dormant. She was asleep. She wasn't done.
Allie asks why she would move the board game without telling her. I love that she doesn't even ask. She just assumes that that's what
happened. Allie's like, you put it in my house to have a fucking booty call? And Spencer's like, no, it took me like an hour to move it to the loft. Like, how the fuck did it get there? And it's like, oh, you're having raucous sex with Detective Floozy. You didn't hear the intruder come in and move the fucking game.
Wait, I love that concept that it wasn't like some different time when Spencer wasn't home. She was home.
Spencer was
busy. She was active.
She was active and vocal, and so she did not hear it.
So Spencer didn't put there, like we said, and then she's like, whose turn is it? Does that mean it's your turn? And Allie says, hasn't decided yet. And then Floozy wakes up and says, are you always
Spencer
up this
goes,
early?
Good morning. Right into the phone. Right into the phone. She's dying for Allie to ask.
Allie goes,
who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? And she's like, bye, gotta go. And I have to say, Detective Floozy looking old as hell in this moment. Shirtless, kissing her. I was like, Troyan.
I just don't believe that we didn't have other contenders for this role.
I know
I said it last week.
Well, okay, not to slut shame, but you know that's kind of what we do on Thursdays. It's not like Spencer hasn't kind of cycled through every possible hot guy in Rosewood and Hollywood. You know, maybe they didn't have anyone else to cast.
She wanted to try back out
the older man. She's like, I'm just more mature. I'm wise beyond my years. I'm more mature for my age. And so I want to try it out again.
So Floozy is in the bed. He's like, are you always up this early? Spencer comes back. He's like, why don't you just get back in bed for a little bit? And she's like, no, I got that call from my friend. Sorry, I'm locked in. Great time's over.
She's like, great time's over.
And he agrees in just about a second because he gets a phone call and he's like, he gets kind of weird. He's like,
yes,
I have a call. I can't tell you what's going on.
Also, she's like, hey, Spencer, what, but I don't Spencer, ask.
Don't ask what case
Spencer
is
goes,
it about.
What case is it? Okay, I know you were, first of all, don't shed light into your relationship with Toby, because that to me right immediately, I'm like, okay, so Toby just, there were no lie. He told you everything. If you're comfortable asking me that casually, he was telling you everything. But also, like, not this guy.
It's also like, he's not your fiance. Like, he's not like your husband. He's not like your long-term
He's not
boyfriend.
Even your boyfriend. Like, he's not your boyfriend.
You guys don't have this relationship
he's your freaking
yet where you
fuck buddy.
Yeah, and Spencer,
he's your freaking
I know that's how
fuck
you
buddy
want it.
And your freaking ping pong buddy. Okay. Because you're just
waiting for Toby to get over this girl, Yvonne.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, I have to wait till it him to get over some dead bitch. But while he's getting over the dead bitch, I'm going to get under you. That's what she said.
So anyway. He leaves, and we go to Lucas's loft. Hannah's on the phone with Lucas, and he's
Can
like,
I just say about Hannah? I love a Hannah making breakfast scene. It's giving
yes,
early seasons. She's making some toast. Does it not feel like, how much do we love a Marin morning? We have yes. not had one like this in a while. And this was
That's
a
so
fun
true.
Little Marin morning, honestly.
Love it. Yeah, I love these scenes with Ashley and Shay where they're kind of,
just
they don't have to do like quote unquote serious acting. They just can be kind of themselves.
Yeah.
But Hannah's on the phone with Lucas and he's like, I'm really sorry. We find out that the investors pulled and she's like, it's not your fault. I should have been there. And all this stuff. And
so sad. So Emily comes down and she's like, does this smell? One sniff. She's like, please one sniff the shirt that's on her body. Hannah sniffs it and she's like, sorry, I was up until 4 in the morning stalking Sydney. And like, I'm already
got halfway to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And so Hannah gives her a new shirt and there's like a huge
there's a massive coffee,
which is crazy. And Emily like grabs a bite of the toast, eats it, starts to leave. And we find out that Sydney has left.
This is so funny. She grabs the toast off of Hannah's plate, takes a bite, looks at it, then holds it up and goes, can I have this?
Well,
is that
Hannah's
kind of
like,
George O'Connell coded?
The One Bite Cafe.
Yes,
it's the One Bite Cafe code. You guys know about that, right? The One Bite Cafe. Everything we used to be served as a child had one bite taken out of it. It was called the One Bite Cafe. Really breakfast, mostly. It was called the One Bite Cafe. We loved it.
Or if our mom
that actually
was
is
interested
so cute.
In trying what we what we got.
Okay, well, it's the One Bite Cafe. That is actually a really cute little name. One day when we open a restaurant, we'll call it the One Bite Cafe.
Right, and we'll get a little like cookie cutter in the shape of a bite.
Yeah, so adorable. Never been done. I know it. I know that's never been done before. Anyway, so we find out that Sydney ended up leaving the tracker that they put in her bag in a bathroom of a Greyhound bus halfway to Pittsburgh.
Okay,
so.
Smart. Okay, smart. Whatever.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
And then Hannah's worried that her punishment is still like coming because she missed her turn. And Emily's like, pretty
Emily
sure all of this
point.
Was already the punishment.
Yeah,
I'm
Emily's
pretty
like,
sure you've been punished.
I don't know. Maybe like putting Caleb in the hospital, hurting your business. Maybe that was the punishment. I think that sounds sufficient to me.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if it's sufficient to A.
Right.
And something tells me by the end of the episode, it's not.
It's not. It never is. So we're at school. Emily missed a meeting. She's talking to Mose. And Mose is being cold as freaking ice to Emily. And like, Emily's like, well, why don't we go to lunch? My treat. And she's like, no, I'm having lunch with Hackett. I got the job at Iowa. Okay, so she was applying for an assistant coaching position at Iowa. Mm-hmm. And she told Emily that somebody else was offered the job. Uh-huh. So that's why she stayed here. Yeah, now we know. Now we know. No one else was offered that fucking job. You just wanted to be here with Emily, right?
Well, the only reason I don't think so is because, like, why would they now be calling her back if she turned down the job to stay
in Rosewood?
I wonder
if she's calling them.
Oh, maybe.
Because she no longer wants to be here because of the Allie and Emily thing. Because she's so, why else would she be so cold? You know what I mean? If that's
I guess
not
that's true.
Like, and what she says later on, where she's like, it's hard for me to be back here and see you and Allie whispering in the halls and not like just be sent back. So I feel like she was like, I have to get the fuck out of here. I can't
stay
maybe. Here.
Maybe.
And then Allie walks in and Emily just completely forgets Mose exists. And so Mose leaves.
Paige like rolls her eyes and like walks away and doesn't say goodbye. And then Allie makes this face that she's like, wrapped around Ellen. My freaking yeah. finger.
And that is, I mean, well, I'll give it to Emily in this episode. It's not like it's not her business too, but I do feel like Emily cracks me up a little bit with how feisty she gets in this ep.
Yes.
So we have Spencer walking into the Hastings castle and she finds this like open briefcase with the card of a private investigator named Maddie Harper that also has her dad's passport. And she sees in the passport that he flew back to Philly a week ago. So he's been here. So where the fuck have you been, Daddy? Or have you been Daddy Hastings? And then he walks in the room. And let me tell you.
He's got some spring in his
step. Fine as ever. Okay, I get it. Okay, he's the siren of Rosewood and it makes sense.
Wait, in that flashback when he's in like a t-shirt and he's like taking a sip of his scotch when Mary comes in, I was like, okay.
I'm like, you know, Mary was like, ooh, like trying
one,
to like,
one more time?
Don't, start you something
love,
up.
Peter, you love Spencer so
she's
much.
Like,
you
make
love
beautiful
Spencer
kids.
So much.
Admit it. We make beautiful kids. And then she's like, I just got to look at her. She's stunning. Let's do it again.
Just got to look at her.
I just got to look at her. She's so beautiful.
Like Rumpelstiltskin getting a look at these people.
Literally. You know, the Rumpelstiltskin story reminds me of a story that I've potentially told before, but I told it to Anthony the other night again. It's one of his favorite bedtime stories, and he just was laughing so hard. You know how the whole thing about Rumpelstiltskin is he's like, well, if you can guess my name, I will, like, help you or whatever. And it's like, who the fuck is going to guess that? Like, who is ever going to guess Rumpelstiltskin? I guess that's the point. But it's like, that's kind of a hard game. So one time in college, my friend Addie, she came to visit me. She was like a year
above
me.
Green or brown?
Green. She came back to visit me, and we go to our favorite bar ACs, and she had just been engaged. So she had like her ring on, and we were kind of like not, you know, talking to boys this night. So we're like sitting in a booth, and this guy comes up to us, and we're like, okay, she's engaged, literally, like, back off. And he's like, can I sit with you? And he's got an accent, and we're like, okay. He's like, I'm Rufus. We're like, okay. And he's like, I'm actually, like, I just traveled in here. I'm staying on James Island, and I walked across the bridge to get here, to AC's, to, like, go out. And we were like, okay. So we start talking to him, and he's like, what are your names? And we're like, well, you have to guess. And I was like, you have to guess her name, and you're not going to because it's weird. I was like, she's got kind of a hard name to guess.
Addie immediately playing along, I'm sure.
Yeah. So Addie's like, yeah, I do. And he's like, okay. And he, like, gives it a couple seconds, and he looks at her, and he goes, Caspa? Yes, Casper.
At that point, you have to give it to him.
I was like, okay, I guess it's not that hard. I guess it's Addison.
Oh, wait, wait. I misunderstood the story. I thought you were doing like a bit. Like, I don't think Addison's that crazy of a name.
Well, no, I just was like, if you're guessing names, I just was like, you're not going to guess
your name. I guess that's true. But like, I think I would have been thinking of the most outlandish, like, his name's Rufus.
Well, I know.
I would have been thinking of the most outlandish
thing possible.
I don't even know
if I said it was weird. I think I just was like, I don't think you'll guess her name. Like, it's, because I don't think he would. Like, most people, Rachel, Sarah, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not, I just didn't think he would guess it. And literally guessed Casper so seriously, too. Like, he looked at her and he was like, well, she looks like a Casper, I guess. Casper is hilarious. So and then we were funny. Like, all right, you can hang. And we hung out with him all night long. But, like, I just think that's a hilarious story. Casper.
I love it.
Anyway,
Rumpel
okay.
Still skin.
Rumpelstiltskin.
The name's Rumpel.
The name's Rumpel.
Rumpelstiltskin.
So, Daddy Hastings comes in. He's like, Spencer, Vivi is your real mom.
He's like happy
mother.
Vibes, though.
Yeah, he is.
He's like in a great mood. And Spencer,
it's like when dad's
Spencer,
in a good mood and you're like, oh, I don't want to mess this up. But
on?
She doesn't care about that.
No, Spencer doesn't care at all. And he's like happy to see her. Spencer's not. And she's like, I thought you weren't back till Thursday. And he says, I wish I'd been here sooner with everything you're going through. And she goes, like, what? Like getting shot in the arm or finding out that mom's not my real mom?
Because Spencer,
your mom,
Phoebe is your real mom. Like, so back to her getting shot, Daddy, where's the concern? And he's like, listen, like, or what? So she goes, you know what? I found your passport. I know you flew into Philly a week ago. Find out he was looking for Mary. And he says, I can't explain it, but it was a huge mistake, but I don't regret it because we ended up with you. You are our daughter. We love you so much.
And it is like, Spencer, isn't that all you can like wish for your parents to say? Like, what more can they do? He made a mistake.
Yeah.
I know you're mad at him for that. I know you're mad that they kept it from you. But like, would you really have wanted to know that much earlier?
Well, and also like, imagine how hard it was for Vivi, you know?
And it's also the De Laurentiis, like, that's a lot of that's their business. And like,
yeah.
if like, the estranged De Laurentiis aunt. It's like, and you're best friends with Allie and Jason. Someone said on our Mount Rushmore post, replace Aria with Mona.
Honestly, thought about it. Okay.
So,
but imagine how hard it would be for Vivi too, yeah, to like not only get over this affair, right? And I don't think it was the first one. It wasn't.
Well, no, because it was Jess after Jason.
And then, yeah.
And he thought it was Jess again. So it's like reopening that wound entirely.
Right, right. Like, what's worse? And then it's like, okay, well, now you're actually going to become the mother and take care of this child, even though every time you look at this child, you're going to be reminded of this horrible thing, and you're going to make it work, and you're still going to love this kid, and you're still going to do everything you can for them. And, like, to say that Spencer's not a Hastings, it's just not true. Like, she is a fucking Hastings.
And it's also, like, Spencer, it's not like you were fully, like, adopted. It's no. Like, you, like, this is your family
since
by blood.
Day one. Yeah, absolutely. But I just am, like, I kind of feel for Vivi in this moment. Like, I feel for Spencer. Obviously, can't imagine how horrifying this would be to learn.
Especially, like, knowing the role that Mary has played in their life. But I do just think she's, like, she's pushing it a little bit.
I know. So he didn't find Mary, obviously, when he was looking for her, but that's what the private investigator is for. And Spencer's like, he's like, I'm going to chase her away. And she goes, so I can never see her again. Spencer, why do you want to see her again?
Like, she's a bad person.
Oh my God. It's just, I think she just wants it to be good. I think in her mind, her family, the Hastings family, is so bad, is so evil, mm-hmm, that, like,
maybe this
there's
is
no way
from
Mary
that,
can be evil like that, because, like, she's like, I'm already with the most evil parents there could be, you know, and then it's like, actually
hold my beer.
Actually, yeah, exactly.
We go to the high school and Allie tells Emily that she has decided to terminate the pregnancy, and she basically explains it as, like, Elliot manipulated so much of my life and so much of who I am now. It still feels like he's in control, and I just can't feel like this anymore. Yeah. And Emily's like, well, I will take you to the appointment, all this stuff.
Allie's like, I knew that.
I know.
Believe me, I knew that. Two things I have a question about. One, have the classrooms always been blue with the, like, blue, baby blue accenting on all the wood?
Oh, I don't know, because I haven't noticed
have
that
not
in the early
it.
Episodes I'm
Seems
watching right now.
Crazy to do it now. Halfway through the last season.
I can't picture it right now, but I can't picture the Rosewood High School right now, but the baby blue accenting makes me think of the school at St. Bernard's.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it does. My next thing is, and I mean, look, I'm pro-choice, so happy for you all to know that. I am like, girl, about time you made the appointment for that abortion, is what I have to say to Allie. Because could you imagine, like, what she believes her reality to be at this moment,
right?
Not
is that,
that it doesn't
baby.
Get worse, but, like, to think it's this man's baby, to think of the history, to think that you're gonna have to carry this child to term. I mean, and essentially, like, I believe that Allison, like trigger warning for sexual assault, but, like, she was raped by this man. Like, I think the dishonesty about who he is and his intentions and all those things makes anything sexual they did. She didn't consent to having sex with Archer Dunhill, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just like, this is a baby that to Allie's knowledge at this point is born out of assault and, like, horrible manipulation and, like, such a dark time. It just seems like this is one of the reasons we have abortion clinics, you know?
Do you
like, it
think,
is healthcare.
Do you think that she, do you think AD told her the truth about the baby when they found out about the abortion appointment?
Yes,
or do you think
I
that this was always the plan to tell her at this point?
I don't know if it was always at this point, because I do think that AD chooses whose turn it is based on situational things, right? Like, what's going on right now. Obviously, Spencer wouldn't have been able to visit Toby in the hospital if he wasn't there. So, like, I think they look for moments of opportunity and they're like, well, it makes the most sense for this person to have their turn now. And I think, yeah, because to make her get to the point where she's about to have an abortion.
And now it's like, even though it is still her decision, now it does
it doesn't
affect
feel
Emily.
That way, yeah. You know, and later. So, guys, I know we're, like, giving away a lot of what happened. It's just such a crazy fucking episode. So they're having the conversation with the abortion, whatever. So she's going to take her first pill at the clinic this weekend and then later. And then there's a knock at the door. First of all, where's Addison, by the way? Where did Addison go? I thought this was going to be Addison.
She doesn't have to do her dirty work in person anymore. She put cameras up.
Oh, okay. I guess. I mean, sure. I'm like, what? Okay, we just
we
bring
can't
her
be hugging
in
like this
with that turquoise eyeliner. We just bring her right back out. Like, okay. It's Detective Floozy at the door. He needs to talk to Allie. I like how Emily does not move a muscle. Like, he's like, I need to talk to you, Allie. And Emily's behind him like, and anything you can say to me, you can say in front of my peeps. You know? Like, she's like, I'm not leaving.
So we go to the brew, and it's Aria and Ezra. And Ezra's like, Nicole saw the clinic that she was in as a form of captivity.
And Aria's
like,
well,
she ran.
Maybe if she would have let me bring her that saltwater taffy, maybe if I hadn't been stopped trying to give her the saltwater taffy, she would have felt like it was more like a home. She would have had a little bit of life's simple comforts.
Listen, I'm not trying to compare traumas between Nicole and Arya, but like, yeah, right. Ezra is explaining captivity to Arya like she wasn't held
like
captive
she doesn't
in
know.
A
dollhouse
no, for
a
like
good
so
point.
Long.
I mean, like, I will say, no, I don't want, you're right. I don't want to compare traumas. I'm not going to. You can. I'm just gonna leave that to you.
I just mean like I think we have described that the dollhouse was maybe a little bit of a cushier kind of captivity, but like mm-hmm. there was like surgical operations going on and like
no, of course, and
tear gassing and like all sorts of things like that. But Nicole obviously was held captive in like a more of a it maybe felt more imminently dangerous where Nicole was.
I mean,
but I do
think it might have been
because I don't think Cece would have. Really
well, because there's such
them.
A weird thing where Cece low-key loves these girls.
Right.
You know, so it was
so
like.
She wasn't going to hurt
They were also her dolls,
them.
You know, like she, yeah.
But I think it's like Ezra is acting like she's the first traumatized girl he's ever seen. And it's
I
like
know.
You're engaged
like Ezra, it's like
to
your type.
Arya Montgomery.
It's literally your type, okay? She asks if Nicole knows about their engagement now. And he's like, yeah, the wedding dress in the closet was a pretty big giveaway. Hey, writers. That's also something I wanted to see. I wanted to see Nicole the Corpse Bride opening up and saying, for me, looking at Ezra and saying, for me, and picking up Arya's wedding dress. And then Arya walks in the loft and Nicole's in the wedding dress standing there. And Arya, I don't know what happens next. That's what the writer's room was for.
And you know Ezra was like, Arya, like I just...
Arya, she
Arya,
never got
you
a
know
chance.
She's going through a lot.
She never
I
got
just,
a chance to
and
wear
the priest
a
is on
dress.
Its way. We're just going to like do it real quick. We'll get it annulled.
She's and then she's probably going to kick the bucket, okay? So then you and I are free to be together. I don't know. She's like, she looks dead.
But I am like, okay, the wedding dress is just in the closet where Ezra can see it.
Arya puts it in front of the closet, hangs it up with like a note. And like, this is Arya Montgomery's
she's
wedding
like,
dress.
She's like, I'm just not one of those girls that cares about you seeing the wedding dress before the wedding.
No, no. She's like, I hope you saw it. And you're like, God, I really fucked things up. I didn't get to see Arya in this dress. You know? He goes, I'm really sorry for being a crappy fiance. Hey, that's not enough. Hey,
that's
I can't even tell
the
you
century.
The amount of work you would have to do, Z Fitz, to make this up to me.
Literally.
And I would make, and I don't know if you could make it up to me. I don't know if we'd honestly ever get there, but I would make you go through hell trying. And then I would decide, just so you know. He says that Nicole being here and alive doesn't change a thing about how he feels about Arya. And like, she's going to be gone. And we can just go back to being us. I don't think it's going to be that simple, Z. And then they say, I love you and kiss. And I'm just not convinced it's going to be that easy.
So we go to the high school, back to the high school, where Floozy and Allie are talking. And he confirms that the finger is Rollins. And he says that they could do like tests to figure out that the tissue that the finger was attached to had been decomposing for a really long time, like around the time that Archer went missing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tough. And
so they're
then
treating this case as a homicide. And Allie reacts incorrectly, I think. Mm-hmm. Allie's like, okay. Allie's literally like, and she goes, like, look, he was a con artist who treated dozens of mental health patients with zero training. So yeah, there are some people who could hold a grudge. And I'm like, that's actually a brilliant point, Allison.
And I think, doesn't he like say, is that like some kind of admission or something?
He says,
she
including
goes,
you.
And she goes, well, I mean, I'm not unhappy he's dead.
Yeah, I'm not upset he's gone. Hello.
But I am like, Allie, can we temper this response just a bit? You're talking to the
investigator. No, I know. That's right. I'm like, come on. I know this is like your whole thing, but like, let's just evolve a little bit. He then asks about Mary Drake and says she's a person of interest in this case. So we have all the girls now at the De Laurentiis dungeon. Hannah is fully crashing
flipping
out. Yes. She goes, AG doesn't get to poison Caleb, bankrupt Lucas's company, ruin my reputation, and then expose us for murder all in one go. No. What are the rules of this game?
Especially because, like, the girls are all a little too calm, and it's like another reminder that they all think that this is kind of Hannah's problem at the end of the day because she's the one who did it. Like, even though they're accessories, I think in their brain they're like, well, Hannah hit him.
Yeah, they're like, well, we didn't rope you into, like, they wouldn't say it
in that way, but I do think subconsciously they're like, Hannah's the one that's going away the longest. Like, it's not really my problem.
Yeah, honestly, that's a good point. So, and that is something that's interesting that we're starting to see, like, as they become adults and as they are going on their own separate paths. And it's like, you're not in high school. You're not banded together anymore by circumstance. Now, if you're going to be together, it's going to be either trauma or friendship that is holding you together. And, like, I feel like some of these girls are having the moment where they're like, do I just say it's me or them? Like, and Aria for sure in this episode, where it's like, is it time to just save myself? Like, you know, do I owe it to the, and it's like, of course you do, but you can kind of see them working through that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Especially as they all, like, I think Hannah prioritizes Caleb over the friend group, which she should. I mean, yeah, they're at a point in their life where their relationships are, like, mm-hmm. their significant others are kind of more important than their high school friend group.
Yes, yes. So the bell rings on the game. It's now Allie's turn, and she has to go to a mystery location. And it says, solve the puzzle, get away with murder, fail, and go directly to jail. So they realize that this is a race now. They have to solve this puzzle before the cops solve the murder. And Spencer's like, now nobody can screw up. Because if the cops get one more clue, and it's game over. Spence, so, like, no slip-ups. Including Spence, you, Spence.
I didn't like your tone.
I didn't like your eyes. And, like, when your eyes looked when you said that.
And I also think there's some mistakes that you have made that you don't even know about yet that are going to come back to bite you in the butt. Spencer.
Okay, I'm
miss throwing my card down wherever I want to, whenever I want to.
Oh, wow. Are you giving spoilers right now?
You already knew that.
For me?
Because you guessed that in that episode. Oh. And I couldn't keep my poker face. Remember I had one go at keeping my poker face, and it was Mona, and I used it on Mona.
You actually, right, now I remember. And honestly, I just, correct.
Last night I watched the episode where Mona rips up Caleb's letter.
Is that is not the most?
And then at the end of the episode, you see Lucas driving Caleb. Like,
no, I had to be like, no, I know.
Like, can you understand why I kind of just, I love Lucas?
Well, I don't know now that we're back in this episode. We'll get there. So Hannah and Spencer are looking under the bed. Spencer's, like, filling her in about Floozy, and they find the watch of his that she knocked off the table this morning. And then Hannah finds the private investigator card and asks if this person has any leads. And so she just calls the PI, and she's going to find out.
And also, Spencer makes it clear she hasn't heard from Toby yet.
Yes.
Yet.
Oh.
Spencer also, like, this is the martyrdom that Spencer has. She's like, well, crazy runs in my family. Shut up.
Oh, my God. And Spencer, hey, you were saying that before you knew about Mary Drake, okay? So, like, it's enough.
So we go to Ezra's loft, and Arya walks in, and Ezra's, like, picking up all these sheets of paper from the floor. And Arya goes, oh, so she found our bestseller?
He's like, yeah, she walked in a bookstore. Just kidding. But she found the book, and her parents came to the loft to take her back, and she threw it at her parents. And Emily, holy shit, Arya picks up a paper, and there's, like, a note that she wrote on it. So she read it, which is crazy to think about.
Do you think that if you, because I'm not, like, that fast of a reader. Like, I think that if I found someone's full manuscript, like, it would take me a second to page through. But if it was about you, do you think you would just fly through it?
I would fly through it, and then I would reread it. I would have read it. You're a fast reader,
I feel like, well, yeah, to begin with.
Yeah, but I'm thank not. God, like, do you think it would? I'm being prepped.
Do you think it would make my brain lock in if I knew it was about me?
Well, honestly, no. I think you'd read it slower because you'd be like, wait, what? Like, you'd be, like, rereading things. You'd be taking notes. Like, I think as
but
much
you wouldn't
as
you, be able to put it down.
Yeah. As much as you would want to know what was next, you'd be like, I need to, like, make sure I remember every single word of this.
I'm
you
just
know?
Trying to think of how quickly Nicole would have had to read it. It's only been a couple hours.
Well, yes. Unless, of course, she found it, like, before then, and she just she just now threw it at her parents. You know what I mean? Like, she
maybe
because
Arya, maybe she read it before Arya even got
right,
in there.
Right.
I'm shocked we didn't walk into Nicole holding a knife.
No, I exactly. So she had written notes, and one of the notes she wrote on, like, a passage was, this memory of us kept us alive. I can't tell you how many nights I thought about you and our love and knew that I had to be strong. And I think Arya just, like, the more and more she sees of this, she's just like, what the fuck am I in the middle of here? Yeah, exactly.
And Ezra comes over. He does his favorite kind of hand acting where he kind of turns into a robot, and he, like, takes the page from her hand and goes, And he goes and he just like starts putting the stuff back together.
He has some classic Ezra Fitz acting in this. The one where she leaves in the beginning and he like does his like little weird like turnaround, like looking
his,
at the
his,
door
like,
after
little
she
robot.
Leaves. Yes, he, like, exactly.
His hands like freeze and he's like.
The CMU degree robot. Yes, exactly. The CMU degree robot acting comes through in this episode from Z. And that's yes. when we know it's still him. And it's not a silicone mask.
And
it
and
is
I
not
was
somebody
so,
wearing a mask.
And I was actually
well, Phoebe,
worried.
You're acting like that's crazy. You're acting like that's a crazy thing for me to think as if it hasn't been happening every other episode for the last three seasons.
So we go back to the high school and Emily's dismissing her students after swim practice. And Paige
Dude.
Walks out of some office and she's like, Iowa wants a decision by tomorrow. And I wrote Iowa decision, which I was like, oh my gosh, Paige could have said Iowa decision
oh,
to Iowa by tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, if she was funny at all. If her funny bone worked literally at all, maybe she
would
have said that.
Dude, the fucking... another part of the episode that I watched last night is when Samara comes into it all. And something that I never... maybe we did catch it, but like... so Paige stands her up.
Yeah.
Emily and Samara up, and they connect. And then she sees them at the fair the next day. And Samara.
Her brain explodes.
Who, like, Paige reached out to about being mm-hmm. gay. Like, that's yep. the whole premise of what they would have been meeting to talk about. And Samara goes, yeah, Emily was just, like, filling me in on, like, your dad. And, like, Paige fucking, her head explodes. And she's like, how could you tell her these things? And it's like, well, Paige, you didn't show up.
Yeah.
I think Emily owed a little bit of context to Samara, who came two
like,
towns over.
Yeah, no, exactly.
To be like,
also,
yeah, sorry.
When we wrap up, so like one of we're gonna be doing some like punch bowl episodes and episodes where we talk about just. I mean, again, we said we can't just like stop talking about it. Like, we're gonna have to recap. We're gonna have to go back and look at some things. And one of the things I want to talk about is like characters that genuinely deserve better. She's on my list, and like
Samara,
characters that yeah.
I would have loved to have seen that relationship.
I would have loved
more.
To, and like we've been saying that since
Fuck
we met
Vampire
her.
Vampire Diaries.
There was yeah, there was no reason other than Vampire Diaries for that not to work. Like it just. That is one of those moments that I still am like, oh, it makes me so mad. So that is on the list.
Hey, it would have saved this podcast a lot of time.
A lot of time. Yeah, no. Hey, you guys, you know, a lot of time. All right. Wait, by the way, guys, Phoebe watched Aquamarine over the weekend and realized
we
that
talked about it on the Tuesday episode.
Oh, yeah, we're going to.
Carolyn goes, oh. We haven't recorded it yet.
I forgot about it. I forgot about that conversation that we had. So anyway, this had me actually like scratching my head, throwing my iPad across the room, freaking out because Emily says to Mose,
I'm like,
when
Emily,
you
what?
Came back here, I really thought we'd get another chance at this. Huh? Why'd you think that? And honestly, sorry, Emily, you had a girlfriend when Mose got back here, number mm-hmm. one. And you were like not
who,
interested
like,
in
by
Mose.
By the way, I'm really not trying to be like
what
someone who cares about physical appearance, but like
really
Sabrina
pretty girl.
Sabrina was gorgeous and like
really
normal
girl.
And like didn't
and,
try
like,
to drown
sorry,
you
kind
ever.
Of your type. Sorry, kind of your type.
So
look
I'm
at Allie,
like,
look
back
at
for
Samara.
Paige, who got like a mom haircut and like
and who also like
is
drowned
fucking
you
annoying.
And who like all your friends hate and like who you have all this psychotic past with like it's just crazy but I'm like you didn't act like you wanted another chance
no,
at this when she
I
came
didn't
here.
Think so either especially
you
because
fully
the
had a girlfriend
too.
And you told Mose you had a girlfriend and like whatever and then the whole Allie like I felt like at times you maybe the thought crossed your mind and it left as soon as it came in like I feel like mm-hmm. Mose thought that but
for
Emily
sure.
Are you just saying this now because you think she's leaving or because you want to get her to stay? Like, what
wanna,
the fuck is this?
Emily's,
when do
Emily's
you play
like,
mind games?
Emily's like, I don't want my roster to shrink.
Yeah. She's like, I don't know. Like, I might be one foot. Oh, she doesn't know she's having a baby yet.
Oh, right.
So everything
she
is
she doesn't know
change.
She's expecting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, how are you going to explain that to the general public?
I can't wait to find out. So Mose is like, look, coming back here was a mistake. I can't see you and Allie whispering in the hallway and keeping secrets. It just takes me back to high school, which I totally get. I get
yeah,
that.
Definitely.
So
but
we
I think what sucks is that Emily can't explain that it's not like it was in high school. The secrets
no.
that, even though Allie doesn't like Paige, that's clear. They're not whispering in the halls about pigskin anymore. They're talking
no.
about abortion and
right. They're also
this,
not whispering, like,
torture.
I like you. Like, because you know Emily has explained to Mose all this stuff, like how Allie was really her first kiss and all those things. So it's like, I bet Mose is also like, oh, you're in love with Allie still. You know, I mm-hmm. keep seeing you guys hugging. I keep seeing this. That's what I think is happening here.
Right.
And it's neither at the time.
So we go to the teacher's lounge, and Allie is on an insane FaceTime call.
With She's
Aria.
Looking. There's latitude and longitude on the phone.
At first,
are you gonna take it or am I? The well, one where Aria says this line.
I'm not gonna read the line, but I just need to set the scene because at first we see the scene and we're in the teacher's lounge looking at Allie. We don't see the computer, and Allie is discussing the mystery location, and then we get like a jump cut, might as well be a jump scare, to the angle at which Aria is holding. She is holding this iPad. We don't know she's holding an iPad yet, but like from what we're seeing on Allie's screen, she is surely an inch away from the
phone. It's giving iPad kid. iPad kid got his iPad a little bit later than he was supposed to at night, and he doesn't want his mom to find out, so he's under the covers in his bed with the iPad this close to
like,
his
she
face.
Is so
it's like Phoebe watching
close.
Pretty Little Liars when she was a kid with the volume at one and the TV 1 inch away from her face so that she can hear it and see. That's what this is giving. Also, Arya's looking directly into the camera. Who the fuck looks in the camera when you're FaceTiming? You're looking at yourself, bitch! Or you're looking at the
and
other
I know
person.
Aria is.
But I'm definitely not looking, because if I'm looking into the camera like this, I can't see me or you. What's fun
exactly.
about that?
I agree.
So
we need
they're
to
FaceTiming.
Work on that. The camera should be in the screen.
I know. But whatever. They're FaceTiming.
whatever.
I'm over it. They're FaceTiming and Aria goes, are you okay? You look a little. You look a little?
Aria. Shut up.
Aria. Like.
In that moment, AD was like, oh, I could work with her.
Yeah, our AD was like, hang on a minute. Write that down. Write that name down. She's got some good lines. Yeah, she's nasty. I mean, I couldn't believe you look a little. Never just be like, are you okay? If you're really concerned, if you have to say something. Don't tell her she looks bad. So then
so
she
funny.
Like fills Allie in on Nicole and the book set back. Allie hangs up. This would have me checking myself into the Radley, the Welby, wherever I needed to go. What happens to Aria next?
Aria, Allie, they hang up that phone call because Allie's going to be sick. I know you just said that, but I'm just recapping.
I did not
brain.
Say she was going to get sick, so good job.
And Aria then gets another call, and I think she thinks it's Allie maybe calling her back, but it is a blocked number, and she answers it.
Hey, rule of thumb, if you're getting a FaceTime request
from a blocked number,
just
don't answer. So it's, the call opens and it's on her file, and this like booming voice is like, Jessica De Laurentiis kept some incredible records. And then it pans up to a hooded figure with like a black mask on.
I would be screenshotting and upping the exposure on my phone later.
Literally. And we assume it's AD. They say if Ezra. If Ezra knew what was in your file, he would definitely choose Nicole, and she'd be visiting him in jail.
So, are we sure? Because for a long time, I feel like it was like, hey, Aria, if you knew what was in Ezra's file, you'd be running for... You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what really has Aria done that's so bad
that
Ezra
I don't,
would run?
Because this is, I'm trying to understand point. What they're trying to say, because if Ezra's in jail, I would assume the stuff in her file is obviously about them being together when she was underage.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't understand what Ezra doesn't know about Aria that would make him.
That's what I'm saying.
Choose
like,
Nicole.
He would
I don't really understand.
Choose Nicole and she would be visiting him in jail. I'm just like, if I'm missing something, someone fill me in, but I don't know. So she picks up her pawn, throws it across the room where we have four wine glasses perfectly lined up, and it just breaks one of them, shatters it. Hey, Aria, clean that up.
Aria's like,
Allie's pregnant.
Oh my God, I didn't know my own strength.
Literally, she's like, okay, I hulked out. What if Allie steps on glass? Just saying. Oh my God. Aria's like, I'm not staying here anymore, so I'm not going to clean it up.
You're going to have to answer to Emily.
Oh yeah, good. And good luck with that. Good luck with that, biatch.
Sorry, I know I keep bringing up past episodes, but I just have to say, one of my favorite jokes that we make about Emily is that she obviously knows everything about Allie. And remember when they walk into that storage unit and they find Allie's lunchbox with the drive in it with all the NAT videos.
Yeah. By the way, we just got over that. Got over the NAT club. Okay.
Exactly. No one was arrested. They
Aria
all
dated
walk.
Him. Okay.
They all walk. Wait, Ezra wasn't in the NAT club.
Aria dated Jason.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah. They all walk into the storage unit and they see it and they're like, what is that? And Emily goes, that's Emily goes, that's Allie's lunchbox from when she was a kid.
I'm sorry, the jokes write themselves. Like, no, that is so funny. Oh my God. That's how I opened lunchbox from when she was a kid. Third grade. I remember it like it was yesterday. She used to bring me an extra clementine. Right in there, and we put our clementine rinds back in there, and her mom would be so mad every day. She'd like throw these away in the trash can. We couldn't.
It's like, why do we always give these lines to Emily?
I know
they had to know what they were doing.
We know why. And by the way, as you're watching these old episodes, if you ever have a moment where you're like, "Wait, we made a really funny joke about this," can you make a note of it?
Yeah,
because then I can go back and find it. Okay, and we can do something with it. Okay, so Hannah and Spencer are going door to door. They're trying to find Mary. And Spencer, like, I mean, it's just the complicated emotions. These girls have some complicated emotions this season. My God. But she's like, wants Mary Drake to be someone who did nothing wrong so bad. And Hannah's like, not possible. Hannah is going door to door like, where is she? Like, as soon as the door opens, she's like, let me in here. Like, she is being crazy. And so she has to promise Spencer that there will be, quote, no more pitchforks at this door. And thank God for that, because we have a pastor living here and we don't need pastors and pitchforks. Okay, not really a good mix. Not famously a bad mix.
It's Ted's house.
Could not believe Pastor Ted P.T. Cruiser is here. And Phoebe, if this means he's a bad guy, I'm going to be P.O.'d. I'm going to be pissed.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
I think it would better remember. Not. I really don't think
I think
it
you'd remember too, but unless you're trying to do a poker face again, but I know you only had one, so.
I only had one, just like a get out of jail free card.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, So we just see Pastor Ted, and then we go back to the school.
The teacher's lounge. And we have a little... I'm sorry. If I'm Paige and I just told Emily how fucking petrified of Allie I still am, and I see her stuff on the table. I know you know it's her stuff.
I'm not going through her bag.
She sits down right next to it and moves some of the stuff, like, out of her way.
Yeah.
And then she sees that there's an... Okay, also, I know you know it's Allie's, but let's just for a second say it's not. This says a lot about Paige's character. Because she 100%. Sees a pamphlet for an abortion medical center, and she... pulls it out. Or no, medical abortion. I don't know. It says something on there about the kind of abortion that it will be. And she pulls it out and she doesn't stop there. She opens it to find the appointment slip with Allie's name on it. And this is our second ICU moment.
Even her knowing Allison, that it's Allison's stuff, don't fucking, like, what is wrong
with you?
No,
for sure.
You fucking psycho. And also, like, Allison's obviously coming right back in if she left all her stuff here. Like, so, like, what are you thinking?
Also, you don't need to be holding it so long. Put it back in the bag.
No, put it back. You saw it. You saw it quick. So she, like, is looking at it, and we hear, I see you! We might as well. Allison has found her. She goes, what are you doing?
Literally. She's
so mad. What are you doing?
And Paige goes, it's...
What are you doing? More like that, or...
Maybe. It's a little more
guttural. What are you doing? What are you doing?
That was
like
it.
That.
Okay. Paige, this is where it was reminiscent of the scene where Paige is leaving the letter for Emily under the sign,
yes.
And Cece and Allie like accost her about it, because when Allie comes in and is like, what are you doing?
Skin.
Paige goes, I was just, and she goes, you were just what?
I love it. You were just what? I mean, it's just so good. I love this. I'm like, this is the alley I've been wanting, actually. Like, a little mix. A little healthy mix. Because I couldn't stand the, like, I'm married to a doctor. I hated that one. I hated trad wife alley. I like millennial kind of a alley. Sorry, that's what I like. Oh, my God, it's not the C word. Leave it.
Perfect.
All right. So, you won't. I know you won't. You never do.
Well, I have been recently.
I haven't said it that much recently, thank you.
No, but I mean, like, the last times you have, I have.
Okay. Phoebe also says that word on air sometimes.
No,
yes,
don't.
You do. And in fact, when one time, like, the first time Phoebe, like, heard me say it, he was like, oh, my. I think it was on the podcast. You were like, I cannot believe you say that word. Like, oh, my God. Like, ugh.
I really, it's not, like, in my vernacular.
But sometimes it's just, like, the word that
which is when you know it's serious.
Yeah. And it gives such a satisfying, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like. Sometimes it's just the right level of ferocity that bitch doesn't necessarily, like, get it. Anyway, I'm not teaching
bitch
you how to
use words.
Bitch
has become too friendly.
Bitch has become a compliment. Bitch has become a medal, basically. Okay, so Hannah shows P.T. Cruiser. By the way, guys, speaking of P.T. Cruiser, sorry. I'm like, I'm singing at this thing in September because I was like, ugh, I haven't sung in a long time. And I can't do any shows because I'm in all these weddings. But I was like, I'll just do what. It's a miscast cabaret. And I'm singing Michael in the Bathroom from Be More Chill, which is such a fucking good song.
Isn't it like, it, I mean, that was the hit of the musical.
It. I mean, there are a lot of great songs, but that is the hit for me, at least, I think. It's famously the song that Steven, you know Steven, Titanic Steven, that he sang for UpDoes the year that he and I tanked at UpDoes and had like actually the most harrowing time of our lives, and we got wasted in the room together while all our friends were getting callbacks, and we didn't, and we were kind of the ones people thought would. And it was a dark night. And Spencer, I mean, Steven still can't like think about that song, but I was like, I've like, because there's a part in it where it goes like, and I hear a drunk girl singing along to a Whitney through the door. I want to dance with somebody. And I always like remembered Steven doing that part, and it was like so good. And I was like, oh, that is so fun. But at the end of the song, it says,
God, he's such a loser.
He goes, Michael, who's a loner, so he must be a stoner, rides a PT Cruiser. God, he's such a loser. And like, you guys, if you know, you know. I drove a PT Cruiser for a long time. So it's just a little fun inside joke for anyone who's going to see it. But isn't that like such a funny line? I love that song. Anyway, PT Cruiser's here. And Hannah shows him a picture of Mary Drake. And he says he hasn't seen her. And then they're kind of reconnecting, Hannah and PT. Like, what happened with him and Ashley? Do we even know?
I don't think we ever tied that knot. We certainly didn't tie the knot.
But it seems like things are good. Like, he's like, I heard about New York and you're engaged and with Claudia. So I wonder if it happened while all that was still happening, you know? And he ends up telling Hannah, because she's like, well, that's not true. And he says to her, you're both resilient beyond measure. Her and her mom, I think, is what he means. So sweet. And then he invites him to stay for tea. But I notice he's like, I'll bring some out here. If I'm Spencer, I'm clocking that. I'm like, no, we'll come inside. I think we'll come. No. I have to use your bathroom. That's what
Spencer
I'm doing.
Spencer says, no, if I'm Hannah in this situation, I'm clocking that. Spencer is ready to go. Because Spencer says, no, we're good. We're going to head out.
You're right. Spencer doesn't want to find anything, honestly. So Hannah's like, do you have the same email? We can get coffee at the Radley. I'll bring my mom. And they hug and leave. And as they're leaving, Hannah says, by the way, the cops are looking for Mary and she could be dangerous. And hey, Mary, I don't think you waited long enough to open that fucking door. Do you want to be caught? Do you want to be caught by Hannah Marin? I don't think
so. Spencer's, like, daughter hormones are, like yes. through the roof. She's going to fucking sense you.
Exactly.
Like she's going to run, like, the vampires in Twilight.
100%. So Mary opens the door behind him and is like, what did you tell them? And he says, nothing, just like you asked. And then he says, I need to know why you're really here. So that gives me a little hope that he's, like, not clued in on what's going on.
And we get
here.
Some hope later on in the episode.
Yeah, true.
So we go to Rosewood Times Square, kind of. I think we're at a different place, but we're at the Darling Duck.
Not the ringtone. Allie's phone starts quacking. It starts making duck sounds. It goes quack, 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 quack.
That's
quack.
The ringtone for Caroline.
That is my mother's ringtone everyone's for phone. Me. And so every time if I text the family group chat and mom and I are in the same room, quack, 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 because I'm the goose. So I, like I was like, ah, like it's Allie's ringtone. And Allie's going to keep it, I think.
Yes. And Arya goes, why would AD send you to a baby store?
Yeah, so there's a store called the Darling Duck. So that's why it's the duck ringtone. And it's a baby clothes store.
And AD then calls Arya and she says
Video
it's
chat.
Ezra. And then Allie goes in. Arya's like, I'll be in a second.
The guy goes, someone move your piece off the game board. Do you want to lose? And she says, I don't want to lose. I want out. So then they hang up and they send her a text that says, meet me now and a pin drop. And fucking
and she
Arya
abandons
goes.
Ship, of course.
I mean, Emma,
she doesn't
when
tell
Emily
Allie.
Hears about this, Arya, hoo-hoo, count your days. Count your freaking days. Okay?
It was not a good look at the end of the episode for Arya.
So when Allie goes in the shop right away, when we figure out what's happening here, I'm like, this is enough. This is already like so sad because the woman who runs the shop is like, oh, are you Allison here? And hands her a thing to like make her registry in this baby clothes store. And as she's walking around and scanning things, she has to listen to all the, you know, expecting mothers talking about how excited they are for their babies. And like, it makes me realize for a second that this was probably something Allie thought she really wanted with, I don't remember, what was his real name? What was it? Or what
Archer.
Was his fake name?
Oh, Elliot.
Elliot. Like, she married this man. She thought she was getting, she's in this great house. She's got this job at school. Like, I think she thought she was getting like a really normal life. And so having a baby with her husband would have been part of her plan. And I think there's a little bit of her like kind of mourning that here as she's scanning things. And I'm like, this feels, I wrote, this is crazy painful for Allie to have to do as she's overhearing other convos. I thought it was painful enough at this point.
Absolutely.
You know, and to just have to, knowing that you've already made the appointment and now you have to come do this. and how horrible that would feel. Mm-hmm. And also, like, the thought of there being a registry is like, okay, my mind was like, is A going to publish your registry and everyone's going to know that you're fucking pregnant and then you're going to get an abortion. Like, that's one of the, and that would have also, I mean, there, this could have gone a million ways, but they picked the worst one.
So she finishes up, or we can go back to, we go to actual Rosewood Times Square where Emily and Paige are sharing pizza. And Paige is like, Emily, I kind of forgot. I'm not the only one with demons around here.
Oh, I don't know how you could forget that for even a second being around
here. You dated Emily Fields for a
long time.
People
die like every other week and they're not just, they don't just die and have natural causes. And Emily's almost always involved somehow and nobody knows why. One thing though, Emily says to Mose, Rosewood isn't that bad. You're going to miss the pizza. Never heard of that the pizza in Rosewood is to die for. Have you?
Never. But it makes me crave Badamo's.
Oh, well, you know, we're getting a new pizza shop on Beverly.
Oh, like I know.
Brooklyn style.
It's going to be a little upscale, but a little less than El Pete's. And it looks really good in there.
I'm ready for it. But Nipper's Pizza.
It is very good. I think that it'll be a good middle.
Yeah, because Nipper's is like just a regular ass pizza, but it's really good.
And it's great delivery.
And this will be more like gourmet kind of thing.
And it'll be like kind of coastal crust vibes.
Oh, yum. So, okay, so Emily and Mose are having their pizza, as we said, and they decide they're going to race for it. So they used to race to decide things.
Well,
this sounds stupid as fuck.
Paige said that she asked Iowa for more time to make the decision. Okay. And then Emily, they like kind of jokingly bring up racing for it. And then Paige is like, let's be crazy. Let's do it.
So like my thing with this seems so stupid. Because they say that they used to race for things to decide. Like, they would race to be like, oh, are we having pad thai or pizza for dinner? Like, whatever. And it would be like, if Emily wins, they're having this. And if Mose wins, they have this. But I'm like, for a decision like this where there's, like, wouldn't you just throw it if you, like, want it? Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know.
It
seems stupid.
I thought the same thing. But I think the idea is that they're both so competitive that they want to win enough that it should be even. So anyway, we go back to the Darling Duck and Allie's done.
No. We do the race. So they're like, okay,
I wanted to ignore it.
We're going to race on our bikes. I thought they were going to swim. No, we're going to race on our bikes. And she says, Mo says, if I win, I go to Iowa. If you win, I stay. And then they race to the Apple Rose Grill and they get there and they're like right on time or at the same time. And
well, no, Paige stops before
Emily's like,
the grill.
Paige, where are you? Paige. And Paige goes, actually, I've already decided. And
she
grabs Emily.
She throws her bike
out.
Down. Dude,
it's like
I was
this dramatic
like,
make it. I was like, what? And they're like laughing. I'm like, Emily, since when? Like, Emily, actually, since when? Is this what you wanted? What?
Oh, my goodness. So then we go to the Darling Duck and Allie's wrapped up doing all her stuff. And she goes up to the counter and they say, oh, and here's the gift for the donor. And Allie's like, what? And the girl is like,
in this moment, I realized what was happening.
And then she pulls out this necklace that says Emily on it.
And she personalized it and everything.
Has a full panic attack in a way that, like,
God.
I'm shocked she wasn't like grabbing onto things and ripping things down and like freaking out
literally
in that way.
Her ears are ringing. She's replaying the sounds of Emily talking about her eggs being stolen and all these things. And she's just sort of realizing, and she's like, where's the puzzle piece? Where the fuck is it? And she's like remembering herself in the hospital and whatever. She ends up finding the puzzle piece hanging on like a mobile, whatever, and grabs it and leaves. Can I say something to you, Aria? You meeting this person alone is fucking insane. You showing up here alone in the woods and there being a car there and the door opens.
It's almost worse in the woods because it's like an alley.
You can go somewhere.
They're in a weird part of the city.
But I'm like, you are going to get in this car and shut the door behind you? At least leave the door open when you get in. Like, it's crazy to me. I don't know. But she gets in and shocker, it's fucking Sydney.
Mm-hmm. Well, at first it's just hooded.
She's AD.
At first they're just hooded. And Aria says, are you AD? And then we see that it's Sydney. And she's like, Sydney, why are you doing this? I barely know you. You're the one that shot Spencer. You're the one that's doing all this stuff. I don't even fucking know you. Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. And then she's like, and why are you, like, having me come meet you? Like, what do you want from me?
She's like, wait, why do you... Guys, why me?
Why me?
What about me stood out?
Why? Can you write it down, actually? Could you write down why... I'm actually going to give you a few questions to answer. Could you write down what it is about me, Aria Montgomery, that made you know you had to have me on your team? The next thing I need to know is... Are you planning on asking, I mean, why would you, but are you planning on asking anybody else? I just want to know. And number three, am I going to be the face of this organization now? Am I going to be the face of it? Because if I'm not the face of it, it's kind of like that's what the face is for. Anyway, Sydney says, because you're desperate, and I can use desperate. And Aria has like a zillion missed calls from Allison.
Mm-hmm.
And then the car is moving, and Sydney's like, let's take the scenic route to whoever's driving.
We go to Lucas's loft, and Ted came by to see Hannah, and she's like, I thought I'd see you soon, but I didn't think this soon. And he says, look, Hannah, I lied to you today, and Mary has been staying with me. She stayed two nights on my sofa. We actually dated in college.
Crazy town. Let's actually do this Ted convo and then go back to the car, if that works.
Yeah.
So Ted, we find out, he knew Mary in college. He said, I was a senior. She was a free spirit. And Aria somewhere is like, I think that's how I'd like to be described. Sorry, she's not there, but somewhere she has that thought. And they did date for a while, and then she disappeared. Holy fuck, we find out Ted, PT Cruiser, and Mary Drake had a fucking kid together. What the hell? Mary Drake. Okay, Rosewood Siren as fuck. Like,
literally,
what?
That seems to be the case. And we get this picture, and we find out that the kid that they had together was Charles/Charlotte. Ted knew the kid as Charles, and we know that Ted knew the kid as Charles because Ted didn't know it was his kid.
Yeah.
And was his counselor at this camp
for like,
and we see
boys.
This picture of Ted, Charles, and this other boy, and Hannah goes, who's that other kid? And Ted goes, I can't remember. Lucas. And Hannah goes, Lucas Gottesman. And Ted's like, did you know him? And Hannah says, you're sitting on his couch.
Aren't you? I'm like, what the fuck was Lucas doing to end up in this camp for troubled boys? And why does PT Cruiser seem to not feel like the warm and fuzzies about him? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So back to the car. Aria notices, Sydney, you're not slick for a second. Sydney turns her head and Aria sees an earpiece. And Aria's like, I want out. And Sydney tells her there is no out, but you can change sides and you can join the team. And Aria's like, and what else is the person on the other side of that earpiece telling you? And Sydney, worst acting in America. Sydney's like, hmm. Like, Sydney has the moment where she realizes Aria saw the earpiece. She's like, damn it. I kind of wrecked this whole thing now. Like, yeah, we all knew you weren't 80, bitch.
Then she's like, all right, you have a decision to make, I guess. At first, Aria's trying to hold strong. She's like, yeah. No way. You guys are going to have to fight for me.
Yeah.
How bad
do you want me?
I'm valuable.
Can I come back
with
a cover offer or what?
What's the starting salary for this?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to leave Aria here. And Aria finally asks her, like, why are you doing this? And Sydney says it's because it's no fun being on the losing team, which is definitely making Aria think. That is something Aria is relating to.
And she kind of makes this face where it's like, what was AD doing to Sydney?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like she
a good question
kind of becomes more victim-y than
yeah.
she had been at
like,
the start.
Why were you on the losing team? And I could see that happen. I mean, look, we say it every episode, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Like, at a certain point, I do think you'll do anything to make whatever it is stop, or how bad is
right.
it, especially if you don't have a group of friends to lean on to talk to about it. Like, if you were the only one it was happening to, that would be, I could see that happening. So,
and that's where
Emily,
they leave Aria.
Yes. Emily is at the De Laurentiis dungeon, and she's asking Allison what AD made her do. And Allison, like, at first, she can't even look at Emily. She's like, I had to find out the truth about the baby. And
we get this, like,
turns.
Weird, the opening shot is really weird. It's this fly on the window, and then it focuses on Allie, and then it focuses on Emily.
It's very odd. I don't know why we have to have the fly. But she says, it's not mine, Emily. It's yours. They're your eggs, the ones you donated. They must have been planning this for a really long time. I don't even know how you deliver that news. I don't know how you receive that news. Like, and then Allie says, I can remember the procedure. It wasn't Archer. It was someone else. I tried to stay awake and fight it, but I couldn't. How violating. I mean, the things these girls have been through, like, I just can't wrap my head around. Like, I don't know how you survive any of it, honestly. You know?
It's terrible.
Like, this, to think that somebody would have done this to you, like, it's just so horrible.
Emily doesn't believe it, but yeah, like you said, Allie remembers the procedure. We go to the barn and Daddy Hastings is waiting for Spencer. And he's like, the PI fucking told me, like, what you guys did. Mm-hmm. Like, why were you going to look for Mary? She can't be trusted. And Spencer says, and you can. Spencer, enough.
But it is true. He can't. So Daddy agrees to tell her about Mary. So what he says is that the last time he saw Mary was when Spencer came back from rehab. And we flash back to that scene way back when Spencer's in her room and she's like out of rehab, but she was having those hallucinations. So I think we thought maybe it was that. And like she's looking at the window and we see Jess D come up behind her. And then Vivi comes in and Jess D leaves. And we just see like the shadow leave in the back. And it's like really fucking creepy. So it was actually Mary Drake. And as she was leaving, Daddy Hastings caught her in the living room. And that's where she says, I just had to see her. She's beautiful, isn't she? Our daughter. And Spencer's like, you mean she really wanted to see me? Spencer, like, ah!
And
snap
Daddy
out of
Hastings,
it.
He's like, no. She didn't want to see you. She
revenge,
wanted revenge.
Psycho. He goes, Mary was unhinged. She found out that Jess D lied about Charles. She wanted Jess D dead. I refused to help her, so she used my pills. She gave them to Jess. She buried him, her in our backyard. She killed her sister, and then she did everything she could to blame, to frame me. And Spencer still doesn't. She goes, but they were sisters. Doesn't believe it. She's like, sisters fight.
Then Spencer's
like, just look
wait.
At me, Melissa, if she's even my real sister.
Right. And that's subjective at this point.
Yeah.
And then Spencer is like, wait, you knew. She is trying to villainize. And I know that he's not perfect. But between Mary and Peter, there's a clear real villain.
Yeah.
And just a guy who I feel like has made bad decisions.
Yeah.
And she immediately looks for the thing that Peter has done. She doesn't hear any of the stuff that Mary did. She is like, wait, you knew about Charlotte before the dollhouse? And it's like, Spencer.
Yeah.
Like.
I know.
Dude, I get
like,
it.
I'm not going to let it happen again. Just will you please like let me protect you?
He says, you can hate me, but I need you to let me protect you.
I don't know why I'm feeling sad for a second. So Allie, we go back to Allie. She's calling the wellness center. She's canceling her appointment. She just says we need some more time to figure things out. How tough would this be to realize it's no longer just your decision?
Mm-hmm.
Like now you have to,
especially when you
Emily.
Also have kind of a complicated relationship with the other person.
I know. And it's like if I'm Emily, I'm like, I mean, I don't want you to have to carry this baby and this is so horrible and this whole thing is awful, but also like what if that's my only egg?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, like, such a crazy circumstance.
And also, like, it sucks that this is happening, even though I'm not a supporter of Paige and Emily, but this is happening right after things are, like, maybe evening out in that aspect of Emily's life. And now it's, like, so you're going to start dating Paige and then be, like, by the way, Allie's carrying my eggs.
All of your concerns about me and Allie, turns out they're valid. Like, we're having a child together. And you're never going to get away from me and Allie whispering in the halls or anything like that, because we're going to be co-parenting. So,
all the girls come over and
except Aria.
Right. Allie puts the puzzle piece down and whatever. Aria comes in.
Hannah's so sweet, though. Mad. Hannah's like, Allie, do you need anything? Emily, do you need anything? She's checking with everyone. Like, so fucking sweet, of course.
And that's the thing. The other girls can't really have perspective.
I know.
Hannah was so irate earlier in this episode, and the second that something happens that she's able to recognize might be harder than what mm-hmm. she was or is immediately harder, she's willing to put all of her stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
Where exactly. was Aria? Aria was out there trying to help her own
trying
game.
To get herself out of this exactly and
granted,
fuck
she didn't
friends.
Know what was happening here, but
like really you knew Allie was doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You knew she was doing her task and you knew it was going to be hard and you didn't know what it was and you abandoned her. So like you kind of did know.
And Emily's pissed.
Yeah. So Emily is furious. Emily is like, for starters, you left Allie. You just abandoned her when she needed you. And Aria's like, I'm sorry, Allie. Are you okay? And Emily's like, no, she's not okay. Emily is fully the mouthpiece here. Emily is the Gia Judice for Brooks Marks in this moment. Little Next Gen reference. And Emily basically says, AD stopped playing games and started playing God.
And Aria's like, hey, guys, little focus here.
Little focus here. Little focus here on me. Remember what's going on with me? And Spencer says, AD stole Emily's eggs from the donation bank, fertilized them, and used them to impregnate Allie. Holy fuck. Aria, you better be feeling bad now. And then Spencer's like, and by the way, because everyone's like ganging up on Aria now. They're like, fuck you, which like I'm all for. But Spencer's like, hey, Remember, Arya's turn is next. We have no idea what Adie is going to do to her. We can't let this game rip us apart, no matter what.
Here we go, though. We go up to the board. The board's deciding. It's deciding.
All their photos are shuffling through on the phone.
And it lands on Hannah.
Hannah's like, I just went. Arya says, Hannah, it's going to be okay. Oh, it is? I would have thrown Arya's waif-like body out the fucking window. You think Arya, your miniature body breaking that wine glass was dramatic? How about your real-life body breaking the entire window? Fuck you.
And it's also like, first of all, Arya, you haven't had it. You don't know how bad it can be.
No!
And two, you just heard what they're doing to Allie and Emily.
Hannah,
so what do you mean
okay?
It's gonna be okay?
And you know, you haven't had your fucking turn yet, bitch. You know that. You know it's supposed to be your turn. And so Allie is like, they're like, maybe it's broken. And Allie says, no, the game is not broken. It knows exactly what it's doing, which is true. Again,
and she says that
break
with like
the group apart.
A terrible stare at Arya. She's like,
yes,
it knows exactly what. And it's all, it's kind of like, if I'm Arya, even though I know that Allie doesn't know what's been happening, if mm-hmm. I'm Arya and Allie looked at me like that way when she said it, I would be like,
I would
oh
run
my god,
I
does she know
out.
That I met with AD?
Oh, totally. 100%. And I feel like there's got to be a little part of everyone's brain here that's like, and why isn't Arya going? Like, I wonder,
right.
She wasn't there for Allie. Why hasn't it been her turn yet? Like, mm-hmm. I wonder if she has something to do with this. I don't know.
And then AD texts Arya and says, made a decision yet?
So it's still up in the air. So Arya didn't tell him no. Which is...
And this feels like the last kind of bid from mm-hmm. the team that's like, we will protect you in this yeah. game if you play both sides.
And it's like, now I imagine for Arya, if she were to say no now, it's probably so much worse because now she like has gotten so close. She knows a little bit more and they don't like to be played with, you know? Don't like tease the A team. All right. So next episode, Pretty Little Liars Season 7, Episode 15, In the Eyes Abides the Heart. One of the liars is blackmailed by AD into supplying information to the dark side in order to protect those closest to her. And Hannah sets out to prove Lucas's innocence. Also, one more person is brought in on the secret of AD's game. All right. This episode aired exactly 1 year before me and Anthony started dating.
Wow.
Crazy.
Fun fact.
May 23rd, 2017, this episode came out. May 23rd, 2018, me and Anthony fell freaking in love. Anyway. All right, guys, that's the episode. Tell all your friends how amazing it was. This episode had me shaken.
Wait, that's crazy. I was in high school?
Yeah. I know.
Whoa.
Started dating in 2018. Crazy. Anyway, we are going to have... I got the dates wrong, but we're actually going to have a podcast this weekend on the Patreon, so make sure you tune in for that for the first tier. Next week, we'll have a Pretty Little Punch Bowl. If you have ideas, things you want to hear us talk about, send those in. And finally, at the end of the month, we are going to be doing a pilot recap, which I don't think we fully decided yet, so you guys can send in ideas, or we'll just do whatever we freaking want.
Probably something school-related.
Although, I do feel like we should maybe do The Hunting Wives. Because it's like really hot. It's the Britney Snow show. And it just came out on Netflix.
My mom's watching it.
I'm watching it too. It's crazy. It's also got the sister from 27 Dresses. You know, the nasty, evil sister who pretends to be a vegetarian. And Katherine Heigl's sister.
Guys, you know I'm a Katherine Heigl stan. I don't know if I've ever seen that movie.
Phoebe, what? Are you serious?
Caroline's mad. Caroline's
no,
angry.
I just don't think that's possible. Like, you've never seen the Benny and the Jets scene where she's standing on the bar.
I've seen it, but it's on Disney Plus. I'll watch it soon.
Maybe tonight you'll watch it because you're gonna love it. It is such a good fucking movie. You have to, because now we have to talk about the sisters, because you have to.
Okay.
You have to ASAP, okay? Because, oh my God. But the sister, who you're going to fucking hate, is in Haunting Wives. And I haven't seen her in anything in a long time, so. Anyway, all right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. Please leave us a 5-star review, and we will see you next week.
And splat.